And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and our special guest this hour, Rory Groves. Rory, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I appreciate it very much. We're looking forward to talking to you. Got a new book out, and we're going to talk about the trades. And just real quick, so you know my background, if you don't, I've been self-employed since I was 22 years of age. I've been in the trades all of my life, frankly. I never went to college. I did that instead. Still own a business today. My sons, plural, and I run the business, work together. So very much this is right up our alley.
Fantastic.
Looking forward to it. So first of all, talk about the book. Where do people buy it? Let's start there.
Books available anywhere. You can get it on Amazon. If you come to our website, thegrovestead.com, we try to post any discounts that we find for the book.
Okay.
So you can check there, and there's also a sample chapter if people want to take a look at it before they buy it.
Perfect. It's always easy when you do that. All right, so let's get into it. Let's talk about the trades. How does it work?
Well, I'm come from a computer science background, so I'm a trained technology consultant.
Okay.
And I kind of came about this, not in the way that you did. I came about it in a very circuitous route. I was at the forefront of technology from the youngest of ages, and I was so into all of the things that were changing and modern and new. And what I discovered was it's kind of great, it's fun at first for a little while, but after a while you get tired of your work becoming obsolete all the time. And if there's any listeners out there who are working in high technology, they know exactly what I mean. The stuff you do, it's novel and it's new, but then it's just constantly going obsolete. You're constantly having to retrain, and the things that you created are constantly going
I never thought about it that way. You're exactly right, though. I never would have thought that.
There's a guy I interviewed for the trade on Sawyer, and he said he also was like me. He's a computer programmer, and he said he was remodeling a house one time. It was an old school building that he was renovating as his own cabin, and he took apart some of the walls. And he found the signature of the man who built the cabin. And he said, that struck me so much at that moment, because here I was thinking I was so elegant because I could write all this fancy computer code. And yet this guy, who probably had nothing more than elementary education, built this structure, and it's still standing 100 years later.
Good
point. And everything that I do is obsolete, or it's old and gray by the time it hits the hard drive.
Good point.
And that started his lifelong journey into trades and woodworking and sawmilling, which he's currently doing to this day. So that's just one example of how some of the people I met and some of the research that went into this, because I simply wanted to answer the question, what is durable? What is going to last? Mm. What can I put my hand to that's not going to go obsolete constantly in this day and age?
Therefore, the name of the book, by the way, everybody, Durable Trades, Family-Centered Economies That Have Stood the Test of Time. And our author is Rory Groves. It's RoryGroves. You can look him up. It's on Amazon, other places. Real quick, Rory, what's the name of the website one more time? They can go and find the discounts.
Sure. TheGrovestead.com. It's kind of a mix between my last name, Groves, and Homestead, because it's we catalog a little bit of the homesteading stuff that we're doing out here in southern Minnesota, and trying to put some of these things into practice in our own family.
Perfect.
Hey, Rory, really quick, I'm very interested in what you say, family-centered economies, family-centered trades, because I've never really thought about it that way. What jobs are actually better for the family? One of the things that's really bothered me about the modern world was, ever since the Industrial Revolution, we basically took men out of the home, packed them into boxes called factories for 14 hours a day, and for generations, one gender basically raised all the families. We're finally getting back to where both genders are getting involved. What do you see as trades that are maybe better for families?
That's precisely why I wrote this book, and it's precisely the question that I was after. First for my own family, but then as I started digging into it, I realized other families might be interested in this as well. And you're exactly right. The Industrial Revolution changed so much more than just the concept of standardization of parts and the factory process. It really turned the family upside down in terms of the way that we had lived and worked and raised our families for thousands of years. Because like you said, it took dad put him in the factory or in the coal mine, took the kids, put them in the factory and coal mine. Women went into textile mills. It separated everybody out into their own discrete professions or labors that were most suited for them.
Right.
However, it totally neglected what goes on at home and in the family. And in the process, instead of becoming a self-sufficient household, which is what America, Americans and many, many civilizations up to that point had been, we all became dependent on employers and on corporations and the government. And so we lost that sense of interdependence that we had on the family. We had lost that local resiliency. We used to have communities that would really be able to come together and support each other in times of adversity. And all of that got stripped out as we went through the Industrial Revolution.
Well, yeah. I mean, before that, you had more agrarian societies where everybody was working together, the whole family. And so you had that togetherness as part of the production. And with the Industrial Revolution, it literally pulled them apart.
It absolutely did. It was a short-term or short-sighted objective of gaining more material abundance, but it came at the cost of diminishing the relational abundance that we'd had and that we passed on for generations. And I go into that in the book, too. And actually, I should mention that the concept of the book is that it takes all the professions and occupations that were around at the founding of our country and are still surviving today. So the basic premise of the book is what is durable and what has survived through the Industrial Revolution and is still thriving today. And then what I did is I ranked those professions in order of family-centeredness and a number of other criteria. So that's where I come up with the concept of family-centered economies. Because I don't want to know just what's durable, but I want to know what will bring my family together so that we can be working on something together, building something that will last, and also building our relationships and being a stronger family in the process.
Rory, what are some factors that play into family-centeredness?
Yeah, great question. So what I looked at is a number of different criteria, but like things like age variability. Are there opportunities for young children to be involved in what you're doing, or is this an adult-only type of vocation? Is there opportunities for husbands and wives or women and boys and young men to work in it? Can elderly people be involved in this trade? You know, if you talk about agrarian lifestyle and farming, there are so many different aspects to that kind of a lifestyle that afford people of all ages to work together. And then I look at things that, like, can it be home-based? Does it have to be off-site, away from your home, or can it be home-based? Because a lot of the things that we experience and struggle with today are simply divorcing the home from where we work. And that used to be all one and the same at one time, and we didn't used to have the same kind of struggles we do today.
Would you be able to throw out a few jobs that
Examples.
Do the opposite?
Yeah.
In other words, let's go both ways. What are some jobs that draw families together? What are some that would do the opposite?
Well, I'll give you some of the examples, say, from kind of the, towards the top of the list are things like woodworkers, mm-hmm. carpenters, farming, shepherding was the top list. But, you know, anyone working with animals and livestock, there's a lot of opportunity to be involved. Breeders, people who breed animals and
sure.
raise animals. A lot of opportunities for families to work together through that. Innkeepers, tutors, people that would be working, say, for informal educational kind of aspects. And then down at the bottom of the list, now these are still durable trades, but these are less family-friendly, less family-centric. We find things like soldier, millwright, foundryman, tax collector, actors. And these are things where you tend to find they're more of an individualist type of a trade, and there's not as many opportunities for families to work together in these trades.
With the opposite being, of course, what you came out of, the IT world, which I guess if you had a business that was IT-driven where you could do things collectively, that'd be different. But what you were doing is very much a, company-type job.
So if you're talking about a modern economy, I mean, there's well over 30,000 professions today. I'm cataloging, at the founding of our country, there were approximately 70 professions total that you could go into.
Okay.
So it's just an absolute explosion of specialization. And there's just so many different ways to specialize today, and many of those are not geared to bring families together. If anything, they're geared to really harness the best time and talents of an individual person without any thought or knowledge going into how does that affect that person's family.
Rory, how do you look at some of the professions that deal with the home? Because I see so many father-son or father-daughter or mother-daughter, whatever, combinations in things like plumbing, landscaping, electrician work. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the kid is going to go into that line of work, but it does mean that they're going to be good at it the rest of their lives. So no, even if they go into something else, they're still great at plumbing at home. Go ahead.
Absolutely. You know what? What I was going to say is one of the best things you can ever do for your children is to teach them your trade. No matter what you're doing, please teach your kids your trade. And children and young people, learn the trades of your parents because they spent a lifetime doing whatever the work is. Just learn what it is. Take those lessons from them. You need to learn to find mentors, and mentors need to find people they can apprentice. There is so much more that happens when you are learning in this kind of a context where you actually can pass on more than just the skill transfer, but you're actually passing on things like culture and ethics and honesty and integrity in the workplace. Those are things that you can't transmit in a lecture hall. So I would highly encourage, even if you don't want to go the same route as your parents, learn that trade because it's going to be a useful, especially if it is in the trades, it's going to be a very useful and marketable skill.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Charlie just sent a message across our engineer. How does the work from home, the Zoom, all of that, how is that changing things in this realm, or is it?
Well, I think it certainly is changing things. One of the biggest things that's changing is people are reprioritizing their lives right now in a way they haven't really done before. I mean, when you're kind of caught up in the rat race and you don't have time to really reflect on where things are at, but 2020 has really caused people to step back, to reevaluate what their priorities are in life. The work from home thing, I think a lot of industries are realizing they don't have to be working all together in the same building or in the same facility. There are many cases where you can have a work-from-home job. You can be around your family, and it's more flexible that way. And I think we're starting to see a push for more of that.
Can I do one more
question?
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, Rory, beyond just learning the trade itself and learning the value of it, say plumbing, landscaping, whatever, is there also real value for the kid in understanding what mom and dad are going through to put food on the table, they go through? Because so often we see that, mom and dad go off to work, and the kid has no idea how hard they're working to keep this thing going.
No, there's a money tree out back, Andy. Just as a parent, you go back, you pluck it, and you bring it in.
That's what I mean. To them, it becomes just mom and dad are just a money tree.
Exactly.
But if they actually participate in it, does it help them understand?
Absolutely. Andy, I think that's a really good point in that children need to be involved in the work, in any work, as early as possible to begin to connect those dots of where money comes from, what the value of money is, and that it's okay to work hard. Work ethic is something that you don't just take on after you graduate from high school or college. It takes a long time to build up a work ethic.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that's really valuable about family-centered economies is that here you have mom and dad who are very gradually introducing new levels of work and new chores, may it be, depending on what you're doing. As their children are able, they're picking up both a skill and an understanding of work and how it relates. And those kids are going to be much better prepared
Amen.
For life when
Amen.
They graduate with their education.
That's right. Again, folks, we're talking to Rory Groves, and the website is thegrovestead.com. The book is Durable Trades, Family-Centered Economies That Have Stood the Test of Time. And again, Roy, you're talking right up, my alley, Andy's alley. We talk about this stuff on the show quite often. I firmly believe right now that if you're a parent and you're really looking out for the best of your child, your kids, even your college-age students, you frankly, Rory, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, should probably be steering your kid away from a four-year degree and looking more of what are they really good at, what kind of a trade could they get into. Maybe you're not somebody that's in the trades, and maybe it's too late for you to do so. But, Roy, that doesn't mean your kids couldn't start and head down this particular journey.
Yeah, I think a lot of options are on the table right now, especially when it comes to college. This is not the panacea that it once was, where it was an obvious slam dunk where you spend this money, you go to this college and get this degree, and then you automatically are going to have a more prosperous and debt-free life, right?
Right.
So we're seeing a lot more of the cost of that, and you do need to weigh that decision based on what the child's aptitudes are, what their interests are, And the fact is, there aren't a lot of people coming up through the ranks to take these trades positions.
Nope.
You keep hearing this over and over again, that are people are not coming up to take over. We have I read an article a couple days ago. There are plumbers up in Seattle making $200,000 a year, and they can't actually find people to take the position.
Yeah.
Now, they're not starting them that high, but,
they're starting them
well, and they can earn that much.
Yeah, that's
and so, you know, there's a stigma around the trades that's completely unjustified, I think.
I agree.
And there's just a huge amount of opportunity. So I do think, you know, you got to take a serious look and not just do things because it's the way we've done it for the last one or two generations. You need to really reevaluate what are the right decisions when it comes to work, family priorities, educational opportunities, because it's not just about the income. It's not just about the paycheck.
Rory, well done. Good stuff. Good book. Thank you for joining us. You're welcome anytime. This is great. You speak our language.
Awesome. Great to meet you.
Thanks, Rory. You bet. Take care. Best of luck. Again, that's Rory Groves, Durable Trades, Family-Centered Economies That Have Stood the Test of Time. You can Google it. You can find it right on Amazon. It's real easy. Bruce Simmons is up next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. Bruce will talk to you about how a reverse mortgage works, all the ins and outs, the good, the bad, and he'll dispel a lot of the myths that are around a reverse mortgage as well. Find him at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Kevin Flesch, which, by the way, will be with us Monday. He's going to spend half the show with us on Monday. It'll be a lot of fun. It always is. It'll be our legal day. So if you got a question for Kevin, write it down, call in Monday, and he'll be sure to answer it. In the meantime, though, if you have a question you want answered, Kevin is there for you. Keep this number in your phone, 303-806-8886, and it's fleschlawfirm.com, F-L-E-S-C-H, fleschlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesch. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesch of Flesch & Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesch, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesch of Flesch & Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Follow me around. Go ahead and tell me. That was the last statement Senator Gary Hart made before he dropped out of the presidential race in 1987. By being ever accountable, you are free to do anything you set your mind to. Start your campaign now at klzradio.com/accountable.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And John, I want to talk about a real misconception that some parents have. A lot of parents seem to think, gee, if I have my kid do what I do, I'm limiting them. I'm holding them back. But look, I went through college. I got a degree. And let me tell you something, John. There were two kinds of kids in colleges. Okay, three. One was the rich kid. You know, they didn't have to work at all. And they, you know, mom and dad were just showering cash on them. But the rest of us were working part-time jobs while we were going through school. And you had two classes. The ones who would take anything they would get could get, or the ones who knew a trade. So if mom and dad had taught the kid, plumbing, electrician,
yep.
And landscaping or whatever, or maybe even restaurant management, whatever, right? Their kid, their part-time job was making 3-4 times what everybody else's part-time job was while they were going through college. So it doesn't mean that your kid can't go through college
right.
and become that doctor or lawyer. It just means they're going to have a better job while they do it.
I can't add anything to that. That's, you're exactly right. Spot on. Brian and Longmont, you're next, sir.
Okay, sir. Good to talk to you, John.
Likewise.
A couple things. Bob Duco's top of the hour commentary, I looked at those body cams of, I think her name is Makia Bryant in Columbus, Ohio, the lady that, she was, young lady, she's 15 or 16. And
with the knife.
Yeah, with the shank.
With the knife.
Right.
Yeah. And it's clear cut. I mean, if the officer hadn't shot her, the other girl would be dead.
Right.
So.
Right. That to me is that's a no-brainer.
But can I throw one thing in really quick? A lot of people say, yeah, you only have to shoot her once or twice. Hey, folks, when you are in that moment, finish the problem.
Yeah, not true.
You are a cop. You are responsible to finish the problem, not to do as little as you can.
Which, by the way, I think also explains the gal in Minneapolis that accidentally shot the one, young gentleman, and she thought she had a taser, but really she had her weapon. I think that also shows Brian that she realized that she had made a mistake. She didn't fire more than one shot because at that point she knew she had made a mistake. Proves Andy's point full well.
Yeah.
It was strange. Also, I have a comment on Grove. In Jay Leno, he has one of his cars was built by a teenager in the 20s. I don't think it was the 30s. I think it was the 20s in Minnesota. And the kid went to his dad and he said, I want a car. And his dad said, we don't have enough money for a car, but here's a engine out of an Indian motorcycle, and take it from there.
Yeah.
And their last name is Shotwell. Actually, that's the name of a friend of mine. His last name is Shotwell. But so anyway, if you went to Jay's garage.
Mm-hmm. Looking at it now.
And it's neat. And then he later became a airline pilot for, I think it was Northwest Airlines. But it's a really neat little car, and Jay did the whole thing. He took it out on the highway and drove it, and this young man made it. So it's very interesting.
I'm looking at it now. It very much is. No, great. I did not know about that car, so thank you for pointing that out.
You bet. Shotwell.
We appreciate that, Brian.
You.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, the other thing, just I make sure I say this correctly, Andy. I think we also do our kids a disservice by not teaching them, and in some cases folks don't know how to teach us, and I understand that, but when we do, we should, because I think we do kids a disservice in not showing them things that they could be quote-unquote handy at, i.e. this young kid building his own car. You know, gone are the days where we teach kids how to fix just a regular plumbing leak, or you know, how to change a tire even. And, you know, it's so easy to pick up the phone and call somebody to come help you do whatever it is. We've lost the ability as a society to even do anything for yourself that way.
Well, what about landscaping?
Any of that.
That's a huge one.
I know.
That is an absolutely huge one. And what about even running a restaurant? Okay, my wife, her dad, managed Red Lobsters for years. And John, he didn't just manage them. He was great at it. Okay, and there were all kinds of business skills that went in with that. My wife is just she understands business just through her dad, just because of that. I think so often, parents want to just shower money on their kid, make it easier for them than it was for themselves, but they're not understanding if the kid could instead learn what you do, learn how to fish, not just get a bunch of fish.
Learn what you do, how you do it, how you do some of those things.
They'll do better.
Yeah, you know you. And again, I'm not trying to take anything away from the trades where they make a living doing the things they're doing, but I can also tell you that a lot of tradesmen, you know, if you can change your own light switch out and not have to call an electrician out to do so, most tradesmen would say, you know, go for it. As long as you know how to do it and it's done correctly, big deal. I mean, you know, can you fix a door? Can you hang a door? Can you trim a door off? Can you put a new door handle on? I mean, there's all sorts of little things around the house that if you have the ability to do yourself, you save tons and tons of money over time. And yet, we don't teach those things.
Yeah, I know. Well, my dad was my principal at my junior high, which was kind of a fun way to live life. But he was also brilliant at woodworking. And so I learned a lot of that, and I've used it in fixing a number of things around the house.
Of course. And think of the money over the course of time that you've owned homes, you've saved by being able to do things yourself.
A lot.
Tons, right?
Yep.
Thousands, tens of thousands of dollars probably over time when you really get down to it. Because right now, typically now, you know, and it's been this way for a number of years now, you call somebody out, there's going to be a minimum charge of X just to show up, plus whatever they perform is an additional charge. And by the way, I'm not faulting those guys for that. I wouldn't do it any differently if I were them. They've got to make a living as well. You know, they've got to make income. So nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, you save a ton of money by doing some of these things yourself. You know, for example, can you pop your own dishwasher in? Can you pop your own garbage disposal in? I mean, things along those lines. If the answer is no, you know what? There's tons of ways to learn how to do some of these things. Figure it out. Learn.
Little thing called YouTube.
That helps a bunch.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we didn't have some 25, 30 years ago. You had to know how to do that stuff, or you didn't do it, Andy. There was no YouTube. You could go to the library, I guess, and get some books and do some different things along those lines, but you didn't have the ability to pop a video up and look at anything.
By the way, here's another one, John. If you wanted to make a lot of money and get through school a lot easier, what if your dad was a roofer?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Easy. I mean, my goodness. And I'm not telling you, you're not working all week. You're putting in a couple shifts for some guy who's a roofer because they're glad to have,
right,
you know, some young help, a couple shifts.
Right.
And then you can go through school.
All right, we'll come right back here, talk more about this. If you want to call us, let us know. Lines are open, 303-477-5600. And Al Smith, he talks about, you know, we talk about the financial future, what we're going through even right now. What do your kids do? By the way, one of the best things to do is teach your kids how to handle money. Andy was mentioning that a moment ago. Al's a guy that can actually help with some of that as well. In fact, in some cases, bring your kids along. Nothing wrong with that. This stuff isn't that sensitive. Let your kids know where you're at. Frankly, in a lot of cases, they're going to be the ones with it anyway. So who cares? Bring them along. Show them what you're doing. Right now, if you make an appointment with Al between now and the 15th of May, you'll get $50 each. So if you're a couple, it's $100. If you're single, it's a $50 gift card to Fleming's. It's klzradio.com, 303-744-1128.
Before you make any decisions about specific strategies to collect your retirement funds, you need to picture yourself in retirement. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, meets with plenty of people who've never thought about how they will spend their retirement years. So he starts every consultation with an exercise in imagination. You probably have a plan bouncing around in your brain somewhere. Starting a business, traveling overseas, volunteering at your church, going on a mission trip, moving closer to family. Al will help you to envision, after decades of hard work, finally having enough time to do what you want. As you describe your future goals, Al will establish a realistic projection of what you'll need in retirement. Start planning early so most of your retirement income can be tax-free. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Geno's Auto Service, folks, where anything you need for your vehicle, they're there for you. All of your preventative maintenance and repairs, one-stop shopping, and they'll keep your vehicle lasting as long as possible. Geno's with a J, genosautoservice.com, 303-794-6700.
For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Geno's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio, and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa gift card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. And Geno's continues to service Leary's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when you're ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment, and be sure to check out all their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in today or visit them online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Learn how to create a tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last.
Register now for a free Social Security and Retirement Income Workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Wednesday, April 28th at Ruth Chris Steakhouse on Bellevue. Dinner included. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to reserve your seat.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, this last hour on this Friday, myself, Andy, and Charlie. Craig joining us now. Craig on the phone. What's going on, sir?
Yeah, my kids, they bought me a coffee cup. And on the coffee cup, it says, if dead can't fix it, we're screwed.
It's not bad.
They thought that was a compliment, but it signifies a failure on my part.
Because you didn't teach them how to do those things?
I tried.
I still think it's a great cup.
It's a great, it is a great cup, and I understand where you're coming from as well, though, Craig, because, you know, I, being the auto technician of the family and have been all these years, I did not do a great job. And, you know, my boys know how to do a certain amount of things, but not near as many things as I can do as a, you know, as a technician. So I can't say as I'm much better than you in that area.
Well, a lot of this is just, it's just common sense. You know, you try to teach them, but, you know,
well, and you know, I will say this as well. You know, there's another side to this too that we have to make sure we're remembering. If the child, you know, if your kid doesn't have any desire or any yearning to learn some of those things, it really gets difficult to have them learn the things you're trying to teach him also.
But then they're just going to have to pay somebody else to do it.
They will. That's the downside.
Hey, what about this, guys? I'm asking you both here, and I'll ask you first, Craig. What about aptitude? Maybe your kid just isn't good at that area where you were.
You learn to be good.
Okay.
Craig, I will say this. There are, and you know this as well as I, there are those individuals where, and I'm one, you probably are as well, where I can just look at something and say, yep, here's how we're going to fix that, just by looking at it without even having a manual or anything else there to even determine what to do. And some of that is, I think, just intrinsic to the type of brains you and I have. And frankly, Craig, not everybody has that skill.
I agree with that.
But can you teach a lot of this? Yes, I believe you can. But intrinsically, there will always be people, and I'm not bragging, but Craig, you and I, we're the type of individuals you can just look at something and figure out how to fix it, take it apart, and away you go. And again, it's intrinsic. I mean, I remember, I'll tell you all a story. I don't think I've ever told this on air. My brother just passed away. But when we were little, he, I believe his birthday was about 2 weeks after Christmas, Craig. And so one year, he gets this item, and it was this, and some of you may even remember this from back in the day, it was this penguin that marched, and it was battery operated, and when you had this kazoo in your mouth and you played the kazoo, the penguin would turn and march the other way. And it was, you know, it wasn't remote control or anything along those lines, but it was very early when it came to some of that automated things. Well, Craig, I was so enamored by that item that my brother probably only played with that for about 2 days straight before I pulled it all apart to try to figure out how did that dang penguin turn when that kazoo went off.
Well, see, that's the issue. You and I probably, we grew up, if something don't work, tear it apart and figure out why.
Right. Now, I will say this. I was young enough, Craig, where unfortunately the penguin never went back together. I wasn't very old. I mean, I was probably 6 or 7, and unfortunately, Craig, the penguin never marched again. He was done.
That's me in electronics.
Anyways, Craig,
thanks.
Good call. Always,
thanks, Rob.
I enjoy it. Good stuff. And I say that now, you know, my brother and I had a few laughs even before he passed, you know, talking about some of those things. And that was just my mind, Andy. I was just one of those kids where I wanted to know how it worked.
Yeah, and I think sometimes some kids aren't wired that way. Maybe a kid is much more creative.
Correct.
And much more of
Which
a different direction.
Which I was not. I can't draw a stick figure, by the way.
Yeah.
Period. Don't ask me to draw anything. I can't.
But I agree with Craig. There are still some basics that can be valuable.
Yes.
And pass them along to your kid as long as you understand your kid isn't you.
Yes.
And
agree with that.
They've got different gifts.
Yeah, and real quick, by the way, a lot of you that have younger kids, one of the ways you can start down this path is at an age where you know they can start to handle a few things and they're not just going to run around and destroy things with it, buy them a small toolkit. Show them how to do a few things.
Yeah.
This stuff has gotten so, you know, so less costly when it comes to good tools from what they used to be. You can pretty much get them anything they need at a relatively low cost.
Can I make one last comment on this before the
break? Sure.
John, if you get them that toolkit or you walk them through something that you do well, plumbing, whatever.
Right.
They will also have such a feeling of accomplishment once they slug through something and you keep complimenting them and say, see how, you know, see how this faucet works so well? Bobby did that.
Right. No, it's a great point.
They're going to feel a sense of accomplishment, even if they never go into that at all. It doesn't matter.
And the other thing I will say is there's also, back to what we were talking about a moment ago, some of you are going to have kids that just automatically gravitate towards these things. And by the way, you may be a parent that nobody ever taught you these things, but you can see by looking at your child, they're really going to be in those things. What I'm going to tell you is please, please, please do not discourage them from doing that. Just the opposite. Encourage them to do those things.
Yep.
Find someone that can help mentor them if it can't be you. Foster that thing they've got going on, and you'll have somebody that literally has a job the rest of their life, and you'll never have to worry about it as a parent.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Just because you can't mentor them doesn't mean somebody else can't and won't. In fact, there's many a technician out there that will tell you, my dad couldn't fix anything, but somehow I learned how to do all these things and, you know, made it work and so on. So just because you don't do it doesn't mean your kid can't do it.
No, not at all.
So it's one of those that goes back to our first guest. It's that encouragement side of the fence and what we do there. So anyways, we'll come right back. Affordable Interest Mortgages next. Kurt Rogers, he'd love to help you with your mortgage. And again, I talked about it yesterday with him here, and he even said this himself. He'll do a free mortgage review, no obligation. Just call him, find out where you're at. What can he do for you? 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
A good shop, folks, where, hey, no matter what you've got going on with your vehicle when it comes to a collision or just getting it up to speed, making it look good again, they can do that for you as well. And don't forget, they'll do full detailing of your vehicle as well. That's another option they've got now. Three locations, 720-541-7697, or find them at klzradio.com.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
All right, Franktown Firearms is next, folks. And whether you're looking to buy a gun for the first time or you own many, they can take care of you. Right now, there is a waiting time to get your background check handled. But go to klzradio.com, find them there, or call 720-770-7777.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/franktown for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
Protect your business while protecting your bottom line. Call 303-423-0162, and the team at GIA will review your small business insurance plans for free. That's 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And John, you know, I think when we come down to it, kids can find a feeling of value and achievement in two ways. Either by, you know, doing and achieving something that you do, learning a task, learning how to do something, or by charting their own course. The key is, do you encourage them in either, whatever's best for them? And I just want to really quick tie us back to the movie that we reviewed at the beginning of the show, Together, Together. That showed parents who did neither.
Right.
They neither passed along what they did, nor did they encourage their kids to do what they were good at and to find their own way. And as a result, they didn't have any value.
Exactly. Good stuff. And our producer is up next. Go ahead, Ann.
Hey, John, I have to tell you, this is such a nerve topic for me because I went to college, got my four-year degree, was in mortgage banking, had my real estate broker's license, got married, ended up homeschooling, and then I find myself divorced, and I had to go back to work. So I ended up with a cleaning business, and it was really difficult to tell my dad, who paid for this degree, that I'm going to go clean houses now. And I did get snubbed by people. I got looked down upon. I would listen to different podcasts, and they would trash on the trade and of what you're doing. It's like, oh, she had to belittle herself and go clean to afford her college. And I see it such a different perspective right now. When COVID hit and I couldn't go take care of my elderly clients, I'm like, this is the worst thing you could do for them.
Yes.
I help people live with dignity.
Right.
I take care of them. I give them a connection. And I do take my kids to some of my jobs. They've learned that. But and the detail that goes into, I get hired a lot to clean up after other people. So if you bring value to a job like you have always preached on your show, John, you can get paid a lot.
That's right.
I went back in and took my mortgage banking exam. And I turned it down because I could make more money with less stress doing my cleaning business.
Yep. Perfect. Great example. And
it's just for the trade.
And what you're describing is success.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that. And you know, and by the way, and you know this, you know, all the years I've done what I've done, whether it be the business I currently am in or the one I was in for years and years where you're, you know, working on cars and most folks would look at you as nothing more than a grease monkey. Yeah, I know full well how people look down upon you when you tell them what you do. I used to tell people, though, to get past some of that by the well, they'd say, what do you do? I'd say, I'm into oil. Get it? Get it?
Great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And that's what I started at telling people. They say, what do you do for a living? I say, I help people live with dignity.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, it was funny. I would say that, and then I would come back and say, you know, I own an auto shop, and I do this, that, and the other. And, you know, it kind of broke that ice. But, you know, you knew what they were thinking initially if you told them, yeah, I just work on cars. You automatically got looked down upon.
Right.
And by the way, that stigma still exists today for some reason. I have no idea why. Knowing what some of these tradesmen make today, that stigma's still there, though.
Yeah.
No one should look down on another job. I mean, hey, I work at a Taco Bell. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you for
your service.
What you do.
Yeah. Literally.
And these guys who can do drywall and you never see a seam, that is art.
Yeah, it is.
That is a piece of art.
Yeah, because I cannot do that. So, yes, that is very much art.
Right.
John, I have so many people who say to me, thank you for your service because I'm a veteran. I was in the military. And I thank them. But inwardly, I'm thinking, thank you for your service, whatever you do.
Yeah, appreciate it. The world wouldn't go around without you.
No, it wouldn't.
So, yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, I've never looked down upon somebody else for what they do for a living. I guess because Ann, I came up in those ranks and I, you know, in a lot of ways still live there. I just don't ever look down on anybody else, period. I don't care what they do. They're all valued.
It is all valuable, right? It's just the dignity of work, and we've lost that.
That's right. Agreed.
Like what Andy was saying earlier with the movies, they want the fairy tale life where you're born into it, you don't work for anything, and it's all handed to you, and everybody gets a trophy.
That's right. That's exactly right. Ann, as always, appreciate
it. That's dull and boring.
No, thanks for all you do. That's our producer, Ann, and she does a great job for us on the website, social media, all the different things kind of on the back end that most of you don't see done. She does a great job of that and has made some huge progress in your ability to go back in and even listen to some of the things we talk about daily without having a lot of hassles in doing so. So, Ann, thank you very much for doing that. And she's right in everything she just said.
It disgusts me that there are people who would hear, well, you clean homes, you clean businesses, you clean. And they hear that and they think, well, gee, I clean at my house. Therefore, what you do is common and requires no skill. And it's just like, oh, my gosh, you are totally missing the boat here.
It's an old saying, though. Always do what other people need and you'll always be employed.
Yes.
In other words, do the things they don't want to do and that are needed and you'll always have a job.
It really sickens me, John, in a day and age where we have puffed up unemployment. So you got tons of people staying at home. Mm-hmm. We can barely find employees because they stay at home and take that big check. Mm-hmm. And then you look down on somebody who won't do that and wants to bust their tail.
Extreme Auto Repair folks, talking about cars, car repair, and all of that, find them at klzradio.com. They'd love to help you with all of your car needs. They've got full towing available as well. They'll work on your diesel car or truck. You name it, they're there for you. Extreme Auto Repair, again, klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list, showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And Andy, one thing I will say, you know, my dad was hard on us in a lot of areas, but the one thing that I can still remember and resonates with me to this day that he always, you know, taught us kids was, kids, I can remember almost the exact word, kids, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you dig ditches for a living someday. As long as you do it well, you do it with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you become the best ditch digger there is, I don't care what you guys do.
That's a great lesson.
And he's right. And that's what we all went on to do.
Well, my dad, and we are ideologically opposite, obviously, but the one thing that he taught me that was so valuable was value everyone equally, period.
There you go. With that, folks, we're going to let you go. Have a great weekend. We'll be back tomorrow morning for Fix It Radio, followed by Drive Radio, followed by Sportsman of Colorado, and then Shooting the Breeze. In the meantime, though, the first hour replays next. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.